Hej och välkommen till ännu ett avsnitt av Musikbranschpodden. Jag heter Andreas Andersson och här träffar jag spännande gäster som delar med sig av kunskap och inspiration. Podden produceras av DMG Education som är musikbranschens digitala kunskapsarena med utbildningar, kurser och coachning för dig som vill utveckla din karriär. I dagens avsnitt som är helt på engelska träffar jag Eddie Matthew som är grundare av Lily Ray Music som jobbar med management och förlagsverksamhet. Hör om hans resa från USA till att idag driva bolag i nära samarbete med Warner Chappell. Om att arbeta med kreatörer och framförallt producenter och vad han letar efter hos en producent. Om relationsbyggande, långsiktighet, att hålla sig uppdaterad om branschen och mycket, mycket mer. Vi kör igång!
We're good to go.
All right, we're good.
Ready? I'm ready when you are.
Yeah, we're sitting in your studio right now. Are you calling this your studio?
I'd say it's Lily Ray Studio mesh with. So, you know, we do a lot of partnerships. I would say, yeah, it's Lily Ray Studio, but Lily Ray has a lot of partnerships. I guess we'll go into.
Yeah, we're gonna go into Lily Ray and.
Yeah, you know, all my writers sit here, so we're not sharing this with anybody. So it's inside of MFG, but it's our own like private complex.
Yeah.
So like it's only people who I'm in business with some way, shape, or form, whether it's publishing or management or both. So it's really just our writers and our team, and it feels like a safe place for us to be creative and come up with great ideas.
Yeah, we're gonna dig deeper into like Lil Ray and. The work behind and stuff like that. So, but you work with the publishing or and management?
Yeah. Yes.
Mainly.
Yeah. You know, music has a lot of branches.
Yeah.
But I would say the main branch at the moment, I say publishing has become the driver, but I think it started with management. I didn't always have a publishing company. Lily Ray started as a management company and kind of morphed into publishing.
Oh, right.
Yeah. When I first got to Sweden, I was just managing.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, I guess it's starting to become a thing. But when I got here, everybody was publishers and there wasn't that many managers. That was a shock to me because kind of like the opposite way in America where there's a lot of managers. Not everybody can call themselves a publisher.
Right.
So when I got here, you know, I met so many different publishers, independent publishers, major publishers, not as many managers. And then, you know, I started out in management and kind of built a partnership with Warner Chappell and started a publishing company.
Awesome. But how often do you sit right here in the studio or how often do you work from here with the writers and listen to music?
This studio we're sitting in now is occupied by a writer that we publish. When I say writer, I usually, that could fall from producer to writer. We can get deeper into that. But if I just say writer, it's producer or writer. The producer who sits here is Stray Nane, and we publish Stray. Stray, I would say, is a dominant force in urban music, urban culture in Sweden. He's had a lot of success here, and he spends most of his time in this room. Since he is a busy guy, we spend a lot of time in it as well. We have meetings here. So I like to say I'm here. I try to get in here at least three, four times a week. You know what I mean? Some weeks I'd rather be in here than the office. We have an office inside a chapel. So, you know, it's really, really close, like two blocks away.
Yeah. So how much time do you spend on the business side and how much time do you spend on like the creative side? Feedback. Oof. And yeah.
That feedback conversation is a really tricky conversation. I think we talked about that off camera. You know, I would say I'm not the best when it comes to feedback. You know, I'd say that feedback thing is scary. I don't know if it's something that happened to me early in my career or if it's just something maybe I came across, somebody said something really wise to me. And I just feel like, you know, on the business side, we're kind of like the vessel, right? Just like you make this great piece of art, we're going to try to find a home for it, you know? But you created this art, so I feel like by the time we got it, you kind of already sculpted into where you feel like it's going to be. And I don't know if my feedback helps that, you know, because if I say, you know, the snare should be a little lower or maybe you should have a different pre-chorus or whatever the case may be. If you stumble across one of your heroes, let's say it's Max Martin or Shellback or, I don't know, Pharrell. If you play that song and they say this is perfect the way it is, you'll never take my advice again. So I really try to stay out of that creative process. I started out being creative because I started out as a DJ. So I have a sense of understanding a music catalog and library and a lot of different genres. But I'd say I try to stay out of the feedback conversation. I think gets a little tricky.
Mm.
Yeah. If it's ready to go and you feel confident it's ready to go, I'm going to try my best to find a home for it.
So you're more into like the business side of the music industry.
Yeah, I love it. I love seeing a young songwriter, producer, just building and going through the process and just starting their marathon journey. This thing is a marathon. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it might feel like it. You might have a moment, but then you got to carry that moment, and that's where the marathon goes.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of you. Maybe you had a chance to sprint for the first 3-4 miles of it, but eventually you're going to have to pace yourself because this thing is a marathon. So I feel like overall, I try to stay on the business.
Mm.
I feel like that's the best place for me to be.
So let's talk about like the partnership with Warner Chappell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty big thing to land.
Yeah.
How did it start, and what advantages do you think that has brought to Lily Ray Music?
I think it's been great. I think it's opened up a great network.
Yeah.
I've been able to be around a lot of brilliant record executives, not only domestic, but internationally as well. You know, Ryan Press is the president of North America in the U.S. He was a key figure in me actually getting my publishing company.
Mm.
I think he brought the light to say, hey, like, there's a guy I know who's great. He's doing great things over there. We probably should look at him for publishing before somebody else does. And I think that kind of sparked the fire. So it kind of came, I want to say it kind of came from the U.S. back to Sweden, even though, like, Arvid Frist was the head of A&R at the time. He's at a different company now, but, you know, great guy. I owe a lot to him too. So he knew of me already. So I think naturally it was an easy progression for Ryan to get me in the building as a publishing partner.
Yeah.
Because we have a publishing partner with Chappell, but I know recently, as of like a year ago, they did a press release that I was coming in to consult as well as build the venture.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is owed to not just me. That's owed to all the creatives that I work with, right? Because I'm just a extension of their success. You know what I mean? Like, they're making the music. I'm helping move it around. I'm helping facilitate it. And then also, just to add in the strategic partnerships.
Mm.
You know, Tommy Brown was a really good friend of mine. He's still a great friend. Talk to him every day. Taylor Parks, great friend, talk to her every day. We did strategic partnerships in the beginning. I could break them down, obviously, with Tommy has a company called Champagne Therapy. Tommy Brown, if anybody doesn't know, has been a real backbone to a lot of Ariana Grande success. He produced all the positions. He did Seven Rings. He did Thank You Next. And we could talk for about an hour and a half about all the songs that he's had success of or been behind. And the same with Taylor Parks. You know, Taylor's wrote Thank You Next and Seven Rings, and she was a big bulk of positions and a lot of Ariana success and a lot of others. Panic at the Disco, she did High Hopes, which went great, and then she did Khalid and Imani, Love Lies, that did great. So she's had a lot of success.
Mm.
And both of them kind of believed in my vision of trying to bridge a gap. You know, I found some great writers and producers, asked them to if they'd be open to doing some partnerships, whether it was publishing or management. And both of them agreed that it was a great idea, and we had some success out of it. So by motioning those things, I think is what helped me for sure gain my positioning in Chappell.
Mm.
I think without them being, you know, in my life or any of the creatives, I for sure wouldn't be in the position I'm in now. So I'm forever grateful for that.
So how much do you work with, or have you worked with, like, business plans, you know, keynotes? I feel like the music industry is so much
data,
but yeah. It's also so much storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
To build up like a case or mm-hmm. build up an artist or a vision or a brand. do you have like a business plan that you present to others, or a keynote that this is Lil Ray, or this is the music, this is the artist?
Okay, yeah. I think in the publishing and management world, you kind of have maybe like a deck or like a blurb on each writer. Yeah, we have that. I try to use it where I can. I think our scenario, which I don't know if it's unique or different, but our approach really has been a lot more relationship based.
Yeah,
I'm a real advocate of actually taking the time to build a relationship. You know, I think you don't want to rush into anything. I think, you know, if there's a creative that you want to work with, or if there's an artist you want to work with, try to be more strategic. Maybe DMing the artist and saying, hey, like, I have songs for you. Maybe that artist might be saying, hey, I already have a team and I have a lot of songs, so maybe it might be more strategic to build with, you know, the producers around the artist, or the A&R, or the manager, or whoever you feel like is close enough that it'll take a listen to your music for you to get there. So I'm more of an advocate of relationships. I feel like we kind of fight in a more of a relationship box, like Taylor Parks having her own relationships, with Tommy Brown having relationships, and my own relationships, and then just trying to, you know, plug and play our creatives in those pockets.
Yeah.
Because our CVs are a little scattered, and I still, like, even though I feel like we've had some success and we've been able to work with some great talents, we've worked with Ariana and we've worked with Dua Lipa, Little Mix and Machine Gun Kelly, and I know I'm missing Summer Walker. We were nominated for 3 Grammys this year, with 2 with Janelle Monáe and 1 with Summer Walker. So I feel like we've had a nice run of songs. I wouldn't say we've had massive hit songs. Like, you know, like I think I'm still waiting for those moments. It takes, like I said, it's a marathon. It takes time. It's going to be a while. I'm not expecting to have a hit tomorrow. So I don't know if our CVs or our blurbs just naturally get us in the room. I think I have to be strategic until, you know, you could say, this is Max Martin. You don't have to sell Max, right? It's just, he has hits for days. Or this is Benny Blanco. Or, like, you don't really have to sell him. Or Ryan Tedder. These people don't really need blurbs. You know what I mean? Nah. So there's 2 ways to do it. There's some people who are super heavy with making sure that their data is right, and they're selling their creative through like a spreadsheet and what they've done. And I feel like so far, when we have tried to maybe do that, we haven't really landed where we'd want to land. So I try to kind of stay in a box of relationships that I feel like we're close enough to really get the result that we're looking for.
Regarding those relationships, like in the box, like you described, almost, do you have a strategic way or like a plan on how you work with those relationships? Like, how often do you call them, email, you know, hang out with them to like nurture the relationship?
It comes, because I don't want it to sound calculated. It just comes natural. You know what I mean? It's like just some things where it's like, if you vibe with a person, or even if you spend some time with a person, it's like, and it's their birthday, it's like, of course, like, if you're cool with the person like that, and y'all hang out and this is friends, maybe you might want to post them on your Instagram story. Hey, happy birthday, and shout out to anybody who's following you that, like, this is my friend, you know. But then also there's just people who, like, hey, they post their birthday and it takes 2 seconds to comment, like, happy birthday. You know what I mean? It's just something like, so it's naturally.
So it's a lot of, like, on social media, or
it's a little everything. Like, I'm on the phone a lot. My wife probably hate to hear that. I'm on the phone a lot. I'm texting all the time. But it just comes natural. Like, it's just a relationship thing. I think it's one of the key things of the business is to be likable. You know, like, I don't know if everybody's gonna like you, but if your pie chart of likability is higher than not being liked, you're probably a likable person. And I think that's most important, is just, you know, you don't have to be too pushy out the gate. Take the shot, too. You know, like, if there's somebody that you really like, you know, tell them, hey, like, I'm a fan of what you do. I would love to work with you. You know, I would say don't be scared to seize the moment. there is some type of fine line between being pushy and, you know, just saluting somebody's greatness and saying, hey, I think you're great. And I just want to tell you that. So I think, the relationship thing and those were kind of built for a while. I can't lie and tell you that every American relationship I have was built in the time I was in Sweden. No, I've spent years in New York, spent years in LA. You know, my first artist had a successful record that went top 10 at radio, and we traveled in all the markets. We went old school and hopped in a van and hit every single radio station. I've been to almost every single radio station in the U.S. Even the small towns, Arkansas, places that Swedes will probably never go, Nebraska, Idaho. I've been all those places. So, you know, naturally relationships are going to be built, and that all took time. That took years. There's parts of my career I look back and say, damn, it would have been a lot easier just to DM somebody.
Yeah.
I wish they had DM, man. Oh my God. I wish they had DM when I started. Oh man. I wish they had DM and you actually knew who's who. Like, you know, it was like going to an event and it's like, you know, the people who want to be known, but then there's people who don't want to be known and you're just kind of like, I know this is somebody because the whole energy keeps gravitating this person, but I have no idea who that is.
Mm.
Instagram cleans all that up, right? You're going to see, okay, this person follows this person. This person's going to post a picture, tag this person. You're like, perfect, there he goes. He's tagged in that photo.
Yeah.
So obviously that landscape of technology changed a lot. So I guess it comes from a lot of different places. I wouldn't say I'm a DM warrior. Definitely not that. I'm not flying thousands of DMs. I'm not a DM warrior. I'm active on social media and you know, disclaimer, if I go back into the time of how many pictures or what I posted, because I think Instagram was just really starting to roll when my first artist, his name was Sebastian Michael. When Sebastian was really heating up, I think Instagram was just starting to like become a thing. And I wasn't like crazy post heavy at that time, so you know, a disclaimer, I'm super post heavy to offset that my writers and producers don't post as much, because it's like somebody has to be a loudspeaker, and I guess I'll take the obnoxious one of on a Friday posting all of our releases, or you know, posting, you know, that we've been in with this person, we're having this song come out. I'm gonna be that one and put the flag up and say that's my role. if my creatives are not gonna do it, somebody got to do it. There's, you know, right now we're competing. There's millions of people trying to get music, you know, across the line to artists, you know, and there's not enough artists, or you know, there are artists. I'm not gonna say there's not enough artists. There's probably an artist for every producer and writer, but most producers and writers probably want to work in that one percentile of superstars. Mm. You know what I mean? I think that's the hard part, because you're trying to chase something that is kind of out of your class. I have this like class thing, right? It's like, you know, if you're a freshman, we have in America, it's like freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year. You know, so most of the time when you're a freshman, you're probably like 13 and a half, 14, you know. So most of the time, you know, seniors ain't really hanging out with freshmen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you might get a quick moment maybe in a cafeteria where a senior might like your Jordans and say, yo, that's dope. And I guess that equivalates to maybe, you know, you getting in with a big artist one time and maybe having a shot to maybe, you know, have success with that artist. Because maybe you were lucky enough to get in that room because maybe two other bigger writers and producers, i.e. seniors, were in the room too.
Yeah.
But it's not natural for freshmen to really hang out with seniors. So it's like, you got to kind of find your class. Like, find that artist. You know, Music Marketing is a massive school. Great talent comes out of there. And there's a lot of great music schools in Sweden. Find that kid in your class that you think is dope. And won't you build a project with that kid and become like, you know, one of those stories. Like, you know, Billie Eilish and Phineas, or be one of those stories, or Louis Bell and Post Malone. You know, it's just like you believe in something, you see it through, it becomes a superstar. Ice Spice and Riot, great example. You know what I mean? Riot doesn't have to do anything. He has Ice Spice. It's all coming to him. He doesn't have to DM anybody or chase somebody down. He believed in a girl that he went to school with. You know, they both from the Bronx. It took off, and then Ice Spice becomes Ice Spice, and Riot becomes Riot. You know, so I say naturally, you know, work in your class first, and don't feel like, you know, you're above hanging out with your class and building in your class. Like, you know, the seniors are going to be seniors, but you will be a senior one day, but it's better to build. So I would say I use that example with executives too. I think I've seen Tommy around. I've seen Tommy for a long time. I've seen Taylor Parks for a long time. These are all in my class. You know, they're all in my quote unquote freshman class. And then we all become seniors. So everybody in that senior class is having moments, and I'm blessed to be able to have a moment with them.
Regarding like a potential artist signed to your management, how do you assess that artist when considering taking on them as a client?
I think I'm a people person. You know what I mean? Like I think I gravitate to the personality way more than I think the talent. I think talent can be developed and crafted. I think the personality to me is everything. I think, you know, are you likable? Like, you know, can I do I like you? You know what I mean? Like, can we have a conversation? You know what I mean? You don't have to be somebody that I would hang out with every day, but naturally I'm being your career. So I want to be able to know that I can have real conversations with you, and we can vibe, and you'll laugh at any one of my dad jokes because you might feel like you have to because we're in business. You know what I mean? Any one of those things. Any one of those things, I'm hoping, you know, is the process.
When it comes to talent and like the craft and the potential of like being a this big artist going from kindergarten to like senior, you know, how do you have like a clear vision on how that path for that specific artist will be sort of?
Nah, I think, you know, there's a lot. Anybody tell you this thing is built on a lot of luck. But I guess the more you're at it, the more you're fighting for it every day. I think you have a better chance of hitting luck is kind of how it's probably said. But a lot of things have to line up. So many things have to line up to have a successful hit song with an artist, you know, and writers have to just be in position for that. You know what I mean? And, you know, disclaimer, obviously they need to be talented, but this place is already built on so much talent. Like the bar, you know, there was a artist here from the UK the other day, and they said, you know, the bar in Sweden is really high for talent. And it is, like, for sure. It's really competitive. I know I keep going back to Max because everybody probably talks about Max in these interviews, but he's been great for 30 years. You know, it's like, you know, you're having these LeBron and Jordan conversations, and it's like, they're like, oh, you know, yeah, but Jordan played in a different time and LeBron played in a different time. It's like, if you put that in music, that means this guy was the best in like three different decades. Like, you know what I mean? That's unheard of. That's like, if this guy's getting up and putting his shoes on every day and he's building a team that's all following his lead to be great, right? Because you're as good as the leader. You know, this guy, it's like you're battling against a LeBron times 100. So whatever, how good LeBron is, whoever the player is that's 100 times better than LeBron, that's probably Max Martin music, you know? So if that person is leading the ship in a country, that's going to set the bar for the whole country to be talented. So I think when I'm so spoiled to a certain extent living here with the talent level, and, you know, I writers and producers that come here, they're all talented. I don't even, if there's an A&R that knows how to, you know, see the levels of talent in Sweden, I need to meet that one and take a course because I struggle sometimes because I think they're all great. Like, the talent that's in Sweden is unmatched, period. to anywhere else. And I'm probably losing my U.S. flag for that. One of my American friends is going to say, oh, bro, you just killed us. You killed us in that interview. What was that? You gotta say we're the best. But I don't know, man. 10 million person country, this much success, it's unmatched for sure. It doesn't make sense. But the bar is high. The bar is high with talent. And any one of us as A&Rs, I think we should be waking up every day and running to the hills with this talent, because it's really not normal. It's not normal. And for me to have a level of success that I've had in the 6 years of being here or so, seven now, because Lily's seven, I match it with Lily's age, 7 years, I feel like it's all off the back of the talent. Like the talent levels is, if I can get them in the right space for their talents to shine, I feel really confident that we're going to execute. Yeah.
So, like the music industry is changing a lot, and it's quickly changing. Do you have any strategies or plans or ways to keep up with the changes, like the trends in your work?
You know, there's this thing about, I'm trying to be ahead. Like I just want to be ahead of these territories, and I'm excited about these territories. Like, maybe just because I was born and raised in America, I think I'm not as super excited about America as maybe some others might be, where like America's the goal. I gotta get it going in America. And like for me, like I just think I love the UK. I'm in the UK like every other week. Spending time with a lot of creatives and meeting a lot of A&Rs and executives there, you know, just trying to be ahead. I think Swedes were ahead for K-pop. And I remember when I first got here, people were like, oh my God, it's a graveyard. You shouldn't do K-pop. If you do K-pop, you're not going to make it. And I'm just like, I think anywhere that you can have success is success. Thomas Garrison signed to Chapel. I think he's brilliant. It's like, you know, to have 70 records and mellow, you can't tell me this guy isn't great at something. This guy's successful. If it's not claimed as cool in your book, I'm the first one to tell bro all the time he's cool. Like, he to have 70 and have a bunch of wins, it's like, come on, bro. Like, you can't hate on that. That's at that point, you're just hating if you think, oh yeah, but it's mellow, it's not. Yeah, bro, it's success somewhere. So for all those people who jumped in K-pop early when it wasn't trendy, salute to them. And, you know, they're all probably recouped in their deals, and they're all making money. And they all have a head start to what's trendy. So I try to think forward. I'm looking at India as a market, right? I'm hopefully going in April to go start, you know, shaking some leaves and seeing what's going on that side. Everybody's saying it's the next emerging market, but as you see, emerging market becomes trendy so fast. You know, like Nigeria was emerging market 4 or 5 years ago. Now you got Rema, Wizkid, and Ira Star, and, you know, Burna Boy, and all these talents coming out. And they got talents. They have hundreds coming. Like, I was in Nigeria last year for a camp that Chapel did with Maven. Shani Gonzalez put it together. And our writers were blessed to be invited to go. So a couple of them went to Nigeria, and man, they're coming. Like, they're coming fast. Like, they're, you know, pause. They're going. They're coming. So, they're in line if they're not already in takeover mode, just like Latin was with Bad Bunny and these things. Yeah. So, I'm trying to be ahead of territories. I try to tell my writers we should just be ahead. Try to be, you know, in the fold of all territories. Let's do stuff in Germany. Let's do stuff in France. Let's do stuff in the UK. Let's get on India before everybody else does, man. We're already doing stuff in Korea, and we've had success in the UK, and we have some stuff coming in France, and we've had some stuff coming in Germany. And of course, America is the glitter. You know, that's I guess deemed as the cool stuff. But overall, for me, I think every market can change your life. I think success is coming up with that idea in the studio and seeing that thing come to life for somebody. Like, it doesn't matter if it's Loreen with Tattoo or POV with Ariana Grande or whoever else, you know, Robin Schulz in Germany or, you know, Stromae in France or Central C or Dua Lipa in the UK. It doesn't matter. I think having success somewhere is the most important.
That will wrap up for today.
Sweet.
Thank you so much for the great conversation. And best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you. I love this podcast. I love what you're doing. My wife has sit there for about an hour and a half and kind of explaining to me what's being said in Swedish.
Yeah.
You should go to subtitles, man. Gotta go to English subtitles.
We will.
You know what I mean? Let's get an English subtitle going, because I could at least read it. You know what I mean? So, no, it's been great. Thank you, Andreas.
It's been great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ja, det var allt för idag. Så stort, stort tack för att du har lyssnat. Vi uppskattar verkligen att du stöttar podden genom att lyssna. Och vill du stötta ännu mer, se till att klicka på följknappen så att du får uppdateringar så snart vi har ett nytt avsnitt ute. Har du tips om personer som du tycker ska vara med i podden, ämnen som vi ska ta upp, frågeställningar som vi bör bena ut, hör jättegärna av dig till oss då på info@dmgeducation.se. Återigen, stort tack för att du har lyssnat. Vi ses nästa avsnitt.